gives me great, great pleasure to introduce this man who has one of the most powerful messages to deliver that any of us have ever heard. Thank you very much. Bill Cooper.
Thank you, Eve. Thank you, Eve. I hope I can live up to that. Does that work okay from here? Anybody here?
I had to bring it up closer.
Okay. Is that better? How's that? Okay. Good.
I think it might too.
Yeah, okay, great. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here tonight to bring you some revelations, so to speak. We've been asleep for many, many years, and it's time now for us to wake up. And it's time for us to wake up, not in fright, not to look around and jump back from the shadows, but to come awake with our eyes open, realizing what stands in front of us and what we must do so that we can live our lives again in peace and tranquility. And we must, at all costs, guard against drifting back into the slumber that we have been in for the last 40 to 50 years. That has really created the situation that we find ourselves in today. We're going to be discussing a lot of subjects tonight, and I would like for you to hold your questions until the end, at which time I will be happy to answer them. The harder the question, the more I like it. There's no such thing as a dumb or stupid question. And while I'm imparting this information to you tonight, I want you to try to come up with questions to poke holes in it. And I'm going to answer every one of those questions, because when you leave here tonight, I don't want you to have any doubts in your mind whatsoever about the truthfulness of what you're about to hear. Because it is so important not only that you understand it and believe it, but that you act upon it, so that we can do something about it. We tried to get a large television set tonight, and lo and behold, in the entire city of Sedona, this is the largest we could get. So if you'll bear with us, I'm going to be showing you some videotapes. Most of them we're going to play through once, because the audio will be enough for those of you who aren't able to see it from the back. When I get to the Kennedy tape, if you are unable to see what you need to see, after we play it the first time, let me know. We will then ask the people in the front to stand up and move back, and those of you in the back come forward. We will play it through as many times as we need to. It is important that you know that you've been lied to, that your own government assassinated one of our presidents. And we're going to show that to you tonight. I would like to thank some people now and talk about some material that you're going to be seeing here in the future. I would like to thank especially Eve Bruce, who through long distance telephone conversations really started this rolling and was the one who put it together for you. I would like to also thank Mr. Ed DeMar, who was sort of in partnership with Eve to bring this about and did an awful lot of work on it, and who has written a book called Lese Majesty. It's by Ed DeMar, and it covers are concerns, a lot of the material that I'm going to discuss tonight, and a lot of the things that Colonel James Bogreitz is talking about across the nation. I read a good portion of Mr. DeMar's book this morning, and I have to tell you, it is one of the most in-depth, most well-researched, most well-referenced works of its kind that I have seen, and includes the best bibliography on this subject, which is available for all of you here tonight. You can pick up this bibliography from the table back here, and the reason we put it out for you to pick up is because most of what I'm going to tell you tonight, you can find out for yourselves through your own research. Most of the information that I'm going to give you is not secret. It has been in the public domain for many years. However, we have been extremely, trying to think of a nice word for it, but I can't. The word is really negligent. Asleep. We have abdicated our role as the watchdogs of our government. Instead of reading, instead of questioning, we watch television, we believe everything that Dan Rather tells us, amongst others. He is just one. There are many, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about that later. Who lie to you every night on the 6 o'clock news and the 11 o'clock news? So that we get started off on the right foot, I'd like to preface my talk with something I think you need to hear to put you in the proper frame of mind and keep you, I hope, from becoming afraid. Fear is a worse enemy than any other thing that we have to face. Ladies and gentlemen, the world needs to hear the truth. It's long overdue. The world also needs more peace, compassion, and cooperation. We already have too much fear and confusion. And too many people are feeling hopeless and victimized. What is offered here is startling information. And what we ask is that if you choose to accept it, you do so with the understanding that it would not come to our attention now if we did not have the ability to successfully respond. But successful only if we bring our highest thoughts, energies, and feelings to take positive action. We are not here to create more confusion, fear, or negative energies of any kind. And it is important that we not give in to these in ourselves, as it would only add to what the world already has. Fearing and fighting is the old way. We've tried to change the world, and the result has been that those who managed to be the victors brought the same constrictive and negative patterns back into power. We have now come to the threshold of a new understanding, that we must fight fear with confidence, hatred with love, separateness with unity, and beliefs of being a helpless victim with the acknowledgement and acceptance of the power we have to create our own lives and then the world. It can only go in that order. For if we are still creating confusion and negativity in our own experience, we can only contribute that to the world. We can change the world. But it will not be by outward action alone. To the extent we can bring truthfulness, compassion, and peace in our own lives is the exact extent to which we will bring them into the world. This does not mean that we have to sit in our rooms until we perfect our own lives, but to realize that if we see ourselves as victims, we will be victimized. If we perceive part of the world as separate, wrong, or evil, that is exactly what we will have. This story was beautifully played out in Star Wars. Luke had to gain his own inner power first by his belief in his connectedness with all things, and could only succeed in battle by not giving in to negative feelings. The problems that have arisen in our world have come as a reflection of our own collective fears, beliefs in separateness, and refusal to accept our own power and responsibility for the events in our lives. If we give in to these same feelings again, the battle will be lost before it is begun. Now, I want you to bear that in mind. I want you to bear in mind that what has happened over the years, we bear a major part or portion of the responsibility. And it is up to us, in the abdication of others, to correct the situation, to correct it. We are powerful. Each and every one of us is worthy, is powerful, has great potential to change the world. If you look back through history, you will find at least 27 incidences that I can pinpoint where one man or one woman has changed the entire world. If you doubt your ability to successfully act and change the world, I challenge you to re-examine that belief, and I challenge you to stand up, take action, and I guarantee you that you will be amazed at the power that you really, really have. Ladies and gentlemen, what I'm talking about tonight began many years ago, 250 years ago to be exact. This is not something that has happened overnight. This is not something that's going to go away overnight. But it is something that we can begin to work on. And we can make major changes before the end of this year. And before the night is over, that is going to be my challenge to you. And my commission to you is to help us bring about those changes. And I'll tell you exactly what those are. I'm going to brush over the brief history of this because what I want to do is get to the meat of the matter that's happening today, because that's really what concerns us. But you need to know how it all started. About 250 years ago, there was a man who was contacted by, you might call it a channel, you might call it an alien being, you might call it a spirit, whatever you call it. This entity that contacted this person set in motion one of the most far-reaching, longest-lasting conspiracies known to man. It began with the Illuminati. It began with the Illuminati right from the inception of the Illuminati as a plot to depose the rulers of the countries of the world, take down the national barriers, create a one-world government, with the core members or executive members of the Illuminati at its head, concentrating the power of the world and the wealth of the world in their hands and subjugating the rest of the human race literally to serfdom. When the heads of the monarchs of the countries of Europe uncovered this plot accidentally, they immediately banned the Illuminati. They put a price on the head of the members of the Illuminati, and they quickly disappeared and took to the holes in the ground. They were sheltered by other secret groups. You will find that all of the secret societies that are concerned with this particular conspiracy, all through the years, always have levels of initiation for their membership. I'll explain to you why that is a little bit later. This is really a European thing, but it has spread to the United States. The major controlling membership of these secret societies is a group known as the Round Table of Nine. They are the heads of the most powerful banking families in the world. When you get right down to it, there are only nine families who control the wealth of the world, and that is the nine families whose heads make up the Round Table of Nine. Beneath the Round Table of Nine, there's an international organization known as the Bilderbergers. The Bilderbergers are a major player in this. Beneath the Bilderbergers, each nation has its own group. Most of the European nations look to the Club of Rome. In the United States, it's the Council on Foreign Relations, and in recent years, in our generation, the Trilateral Commission. You may not realize this, but they are one and the same. The Trilateral Commission branched off from the Council on Foreign Relations to give you something to hang on to should they lose political power. It is an old ploy. It's the same as in the playoffs for Major League Football. You have two teams and you play yourself. You cannot lose. That is the theory behind the split. Now that you know a little bit of the history, and not too much, because I really want you to go start reading for yourself, and you will find that there's plenty of material to give you food for thought, a lot of hours of reading, and a lot of productive research.